Hey guys, welcome back to the Abroad Pod. I'm your host Nicole, and today's episode is going to be about packing. I have gotten so many questions over the years about how to pack accordingly for a trip, whether it is a short stay, like a long weekend, and you're just bringing a backpack or a carry-on, and even how to pack for a longer trip, like maybe a semester abroad. So today's episode is going to focus on packing tips, and I will be answering a lot of the questions that you guys have sent in. And then at the end of the episode, I'll be talking about Ecuador, and that is very exciting for two reasons. The first is I've officially finished my North America region destination segment. So if you guys know, I do a destination segment at the end of every episode. And I started with the first destination being the United States because that is my home country. And then I moved my way around North America. So I covered Canada, Mexico, and any Caribbean nation or island that I have visited. So I've covered every place I've been in North America. So today begins South America. And unfortunately, I've only been to one place so far. So I'll be talking about Ecuador today, and then that will wrap up the destinations for season one, and then we'll be moving across the pond for season two. So stay tuned for that, but in the meantime, let's learn about packing in Ecuador. Just want to say, if you guys missed my episode from last week, please pause this and go back and listen to it. It's only 20 minutes long, and it was probably the cutest episode I'll ever record. I had my grandparents in it, Grandma Pat and Granddad Hoagie, and we talked about some of the trips that they've done and what they've learned from those experiences, and they give really good words of wisdom as to why everyone should travel. So definitely listen to that if you haven't already. I'm sure you'll feel inspired to book a trip. And then once you're feeling inspired, hop on back into this episode to learn how to pack. So I just wanted to give a little plug there, but now to get into the tips. So the very first thing I want to mention is that if you are flying, there is obviously a limit to what you can bring with you. All airlines have baggage fees. And they differ depending on the airline. So my first tip is if you're flying somewhere, definitely research your airline's specific policies regarding baggage and look what their fees are, because some airlines may give you one free checked bag, which is great. Some may make you pay $50. And if you go overweight on that checked bag, which, by the way, the limit is always 50 pounds. So if you go overweight, no matter what airline you're on, if your bag is like 70 pounds, you're gonna get charged, but the fee really depends. So I've mentioned that in a previous episode when I was talking about cheap flights. The budget airlines are very inexpensive. However, they usually really get you with baggage fees to make up for it. So for example, I was flying, I think it was Ryanair somewhere in Europe, and my bag is my little carry-on and it was overweight. And it also didn't fit the luggage compartment, like above your seat in the airplane, which is a topic for another time. But basically, my bag was too big, and I literally paid, I think it was $75 in my bag for my little bag. So they'll get ya, let me tell you. So that's my first tip, is before you actually begin packing, look into your airline's policy. It will save yourself money in the long run, for sure. Okay, so now that you've looked into your airline's policies, you need to determine what bag is the right bag for you. So if you're just going away for a quick weekend trip, I recommend a backpack, a duffel bag, or a carry-on. Obviously, if you're going away for a week or 2 weeks or even longer, like I mentioned earlier, a semester abroad, you will need a big checked bag. but definitely determine what is the right bag for you. So I guess we'll start with carry-on luggage. So, like I mentioned, you need to determine the size of your luggage. Size limitations vary from carrier to carrier, so double check with your specific airline to confirm your carry-on bag. And so choosing the right kind of bag is super important. So it depends on the trip. So if you're traveling to Europe, which is known for its cobblestone streets that, by the way, are not very handicap friendly and or luggage friendly, you may want to reconsider bringing your 75-pound suitcase on wheels. Just a thought. So that's why a lot of people backpack through Europe. You know, it's just easier. But you want to think about your bag. There's obviously soft luggage and then there's hard luggage. The hard shells are more durable, but the soft shells are really great because you can shove those above your airplane seat on a flight or in buses or trains. So just think about that. But basically, I have a couple tips for packing a carry-on. And the first, I hope everyone knows, and that is to roll, don't fold. So when you're traveling, you want to make sure you roll everything. I did not do this for years because, I don't know, I was just lazy. Like, everything's already folded in my drawers, so I just threw it all in my suitcase. But honestly, rolling things saves so much room, especially if you're studying abroad and you're packing your literal whole wardrobe. Roll everything. You will be able to fit so much more. Another tip I have is to use compression bags or packing cubes. So another word for a compression bag is like one of those vacuum sealed bags. Basically, you can put a lot of things inside and suck all the air out and it'll compress it. But packing cubes are equally as great and they just help you stay super organized. I definitely recommend them for a smaller trip. So if you're going on like a 2-week trip or longer where maybe you can unpack when you get to your destination, if you're going on a cruise or like I mentioned, if you're studying or moving abroad, you can obviously move in. But if you're going on a shorter trip and need to stay organized with your duffel bag or your carry-on, use packing cubes. Keep your shirts in one, pants in one, socks, underwear in one. You know, do what you gotta do to stay organized. It will definitely help in the long run. My friend Marin used a bunch of these on our road trip, and it was perfect because we were moving around every day and we weren't doing laundry, so it was super easy to stay organized. So definitely do that. My third tip is to take advantage of the airline's personal item allowance. So every airline that I know of, at least, allows you to bring one personal item, and that can usually be a very small carry-on, like a little handbag or a purse, and really take advantage of that. So for example, when I'm flying and I need to keep my carry-on as light as possible for a short stay, I'll usually have my laptop in my purse. So that way I can sneak it in as my personal item. I'll also keep some snacks in there, the essentials. So just keep that in mind. Really take advantage of that personal item. Fill that personal item up as big as you can. Try to fit some like sweaters in there or sweatshirts or something. That will really save you space in your carry-on. So another tip that I'm sure you have all heard of is my tip number 4, and that is bring clothes that can be layered. So when you're packing for a shorter trip, you want to have a versatile wardrobe. You want to be able to layer clothes, so maybe one day you wear shirt A with shirt B on top, and the next day you can wear shirt B with shirt C on top. So you want to be able that you have several options where you can make different clothes, or different outfits I should say, that will get you through the week. Not only will this save room in your suitcase, but it'll also save laundry time. Leave those chunky knit sweaters and heavy coats at home. That's where they'll be the most useful. So layer your clothes. And going off that, tip number 5 is to wear your heaviest clothes to the airport. I'm sure you all know this hack. It is an old one. But yeah, basically you want to wear your coats and your heavy boots through security so that way it frees up room in your actual suitcase. So I also hate being barefoot at the airport. I don't know if anyone else can relate to this when you're going through security, but I hate wearing like flip-flops and not having socks on. So every time I travel, I usually have socks on and I'm wearing my sneakers or my boots, which are my heaviest footwear. So I definitely recommend that. That will save you lots of room. And the next tip that I have about clothing has to do with how you actually pack your suitcase. And that is to put things inside of each other. So for example, if I'm packing a hat, you want to put the, I don't know what you would call it, the bucket of the hat face down with the rim up and like stuff it with socks. So like baseball hats, you could do the same. If I'm packing sneakers and like the rare occasion that I do have like heavier shoes in my carry-on, I will stuff it with like shirts, socks. Like really fill up every crevice of your suitcase. That way you can fit as much as possible. So that's my last little tip about clothes. And then another tip that I had, let's see, I'm reading my notes quickly, has to do with toiletries. So you all know that when you bring a carry-on suitcase, you cannot bring full-size toiletries. It goes over the fluid allowance. So you cannot bring full-size shampoo, conditioner, any of that. It's forbidden. So when you're packing toiletries, you probably already have travel size things. That's, I guess, the next tip is buy all travel size things. Even if you're going away for like 2 weeks, you don't need a full conditioner. Think about it. How long do your bottles of conditioner sit in the shower for? Mine, and like I share with my sister, literally lasts probably 6 weeks. So you don't need as much as you think you do. So always pack travel size toiletries. Go to Target to get them, that's the best. But another thing to think about is what toiletries are absolutely essential. If you're staying in a hotel, use the provided shampoo and conditioner and lotion. That should be a no-brainer. Most hotels also have toothbrushes, toothpaste, and even razors that you can ask for free at the front desk. So really think about what you absolutely need. When I travel to hotels, honestly, I really only pack my razor and like my face wash and like makeup, of course, and like a toothbrush, toothpaste, all that. But I never pack shampoo, conditioner, or soap because I know the place will have it. So if you're really tight on space, just leave some of those toiletries behind. As long as you have your necessary medication, contacts, glasses, etc., you can purchase any other basic items when you arrive. So even if the hotel doesn't sell them, you can easily go to a local pharmacy and get what you need for the week there. So another tip I wanted to give just about the actual luggage itself is I would actually don't recommend duffel bags. So if I'm just going away for a weekend or something, or if I'm in the car, like whatever, I'll bring it. But one, it's really hard to keep them organized. Like, my dirty clothes will just get thrown in my clean, like everything gets all messed up. So it's really hard to find things that you need. And also you have to carry them on your shoulder. And if you pack a lot, like I tend to do, it can get so heavy. Like when I was studying abroad in Australia, this is like a whole situation, but the cheapest way to get to the airport was to walk a mile from my apartment to a train, take a train for like 20 minutes to the airport, and then walk through the Sydney airport, which by the way is ginormous, with probably like a 30 to 40 pound bag on one of my shoulders. So it was really uncomfortable. I was always switching off, and then I usually had my duffel bag on one shoulder and like my backpack or my laptop in my arm with the other one. So I always recommend suitcases. I think a small carry-on is like such an essential thing that every single traveler should have. But if you're doing a bigger trip, definitely get a suitcase with four wheels. That way you can push it and it rolls instead of having to pull it. And trust me, it's just a lot easier to It's a lot easier to navigate with one that rolls. So keep that in mind if you're in the market for new luggage. Make sure it has four wheels. Most of them nowadays do, but it will be a lifesaver. Okay, and now to answer some of the questions that you guys have written into me. So some of these questions came directly into my blog and others came in just through like Instagram DMs. Mostly when I was packing for trips and would post about it. So when I worked in California last summer, when I packed for both my semesters abroad, etc., I got some questions. So the first one is just how to go about packing for 4 months. And trust me, it can seem so overwhelming. And some tips that I have for that is treat packing for a semester abroad like you treated moving into college or moving out of your house if you ever like moved homes. Start early. So I started packing for abroad probably a week or two before I left. And again, like a lot of the tips are the same here, like roll your clothes, you know, only pack the essential toiletries. You can buy everything that you need in country. Like no matter where you're going, I'm sure you can find soap. So just only pack what's essential. But basically, I would make a packing list that was like a lifesaver to me. And I just thought about like, what do I need for every day? Like what clothes do I wear every day? I need a charger, obviously. I need certain footwear for different occasions, like sneakers for running, flip-flops for the beach, boots, because when I left Florence in December, it was winter. Like, I went to Switzerland and was covered in snow. Like, I needed boots. So you need to think about the seasons, and you need to pack accordingly. In terms of space, I brought two giant 50-pound suitcases. And one was checked for free, so I only had to pay for one checked bag, which I think was $100, so it's definitely not cheap, but again, I only had to pay for one, so it was worth it. But I would definitely take advantage of two. Again, get two suitcases that roll so you can push them, so you don't have to pull them, and don't pack more than you can handle. I always, always say that. So even on the road trip that I went on recently, I did pack one big, like, 50-pound suitcase. I was gone for about 10 days, but I told myself that if I can't get this thing up a flight of stairs every single night into a hotel, I'm not going to bring it. So probably no one is going to be there to help you when you're first moving into your apartment. All the other students are going to have their own stuff to carry up the stairs, so don't pack more than you can handle. But yes, I did pack two bags, roll everything, only pack the essentials, make a list, pack for the seasons. Even in Australia, when I first got there, it was 95 degrees every day, and when I left, it was 55. So, yep, I was packing bikinis and sweaters. So, pack accordingly, for sure. And another question that I've seen a lot has to do with the flights and packing for long-haul flights. I had quite a few people ask me about my flight to and from Australia, and then I had a couple of questions come in too when I flew from New York to Beijing, which is about a 14-hour flight. So, I carry with me every time I fly, an in-flight essentials kit. And I'm actually going to pull it out right now. One second. Okay, I'm back. So, I'm opening up this bag. So, let me tell you guys what I have inside, and you all need to do this, whether you're going away to a friend's house for one night or moving to Indonesia. Okay, inside. First, an eye mask. You need this to turtle. If you don't know what turtling is, basically you can beat jet lag if you trick your body into thinking it's nighttime, aka sensory deprivation. So you need to cover out all the light. And that leads to my next thing, which is earplugs. So you want to have earplugs in so that way you don't hear sound and you can fall asleep easier. But also I have this little carry-on thing with me when I stay in hotels and hostels. And I have been in some very noisy situations. So earplugs are a great thing to have. And yep, those are pills you hear. Benadryl. I always fly with Benadryl, especially if I'm flying overnight. It helps put me to sleep. I have chapstick because we all know that airplanes can have very dry air. Oh, this is an absolute essential. Okay. A mini toothpaste and a mini toothbrush. It's one of those ones where like the little top fits into the bottom and it's a cover, you know, and then you can attach them and it makes like a full-size toothbrush. because I don't know about you guys, but I can't really fall asleep unless I have like my makeup off and I brushed my teeth. And it's the same thing on a flight. So I will usually go into the bathroom before it's time for like, quote, bedtime on an overnight flight, and I will brush my teeth. So definitely pack that for either in your carry-on or in your personal item, and you'll thank yourself later. Okay, what else? I have a pen, because you know you always have to fill out those forms if you're flying to another country. That is essential. I have Tylenol. You never know when you're going to get a headache in flight. I have some cough drops, and then my number one recommendation that I literally can't live without is my Summer Fridays jet lag mask. Now, you can use this anytime you want, but I actually love it for when I'm flying. It is called the jet lag mask for a reason, but it's super hydrating, and basically you just put it on your face. Like, I put it on kind of right when I get on the flight, and it's supposed to lock in moisture. So I'm literally putting it on my face right now. But it locks in moisture on your face, so it keeps your face like super hydrated when you're flying. And it also just feels really good, and it kind of like cleanses your face too. So it's a face mask, but you don't have to take it off. So you just leave it on. And I promise it's not that like thick, like it doesn't feel like gunky. This is totally a conversation for the girls, but whatever. Anyways, highly recommend that. Every time I'm flying with friends, we like pass this tube around, and like everyone uses it, even like my guy friends and my boyfriend Nathaniel, whenever we fly together. Yeah, uses it. Probably gonna kill me for saying that, but whatever. All right, and then the very last thing I have in here is headphones. And here is a little life hack for all you Gen Zs out there. Don't fly with AirPods. Yes, you can listen to music. Yes, you can listen to like a podcast if you already downloaded it on your phone. But think about it, all these airplanes have the TVs on the back of the seat where you need a headphone jack. You have no idea how many times I screwed myself over when I boarded a plane with just my AirPods or like Beats or something and could not listen to the TV or watch a movie. So always have a pair of headphones with you that have a jack that you could plug in and sit back and relax and enjoy your in-flight entertainment, as the airlines call it. So yeah, I guess that was, I don't know, a bit of a side note there about flying and some of the tips I have, but now I'm putting on my chapstick. Wow, that's my favorite. The classic cherry really hits different. Okay. Anyways, those are the tips I have about packing for a flight. I've gotten a lot of questions about that, and I hope that kind of covers it. My Hail Mary is to just have like this little in-flight essentials bag. And yeah, make sure you get ready for bed before you try to fall asleep and keep your skin hydrated. Okay, so now looking at my questions, I have screenshotted again. I have several about what specifically to pack for a semester abroad, and I think I'll do another episode about this at some point because obviously every location is different. Like, what my friend Emma said in her Galway episode, it's like you need a good pair of rain boots. She got hers from, I think it was L.L. Bean, she said. Like, you definitely don't need to pack those for a semester in Brisbane or Sydney, Australia, you know? So I'll do an episode about that another time, but basically just plan ahead for the weather, you know? And the same tip that I said earlier definitely applies in this case, which is pack versatile clothing. So I would pack a lot of cute tees that could be standalone, like in the summer months, like just wear them with shorts or jeans, but also that could be layered in the fall or winter months with like a cute jean jacket or like a puffy coat or something like that. So I guess just keep that in mind. And the last thing that we'll say about packing for a semester abroad is I actually wrote a blog post all about this and just like essentials that you need for a semester abroad that you may not think to pack. So I'll link that blog post in the show notes below, but you can also find it on my blog if you just go to the lifestyle tab, because it's not like destination specific, you know? And then, let's see. I'm looking for the name of it right now. Here, it's called Packing List and Tips, Essentials for Semester Abroad. And this blog post is honestly super helpful. So just quickly to read off the things that I recommend, and like I mentioned, like definitely go through and like read about all these things in depth, but pack a reusable water bottle. It will save so much money on water. You should not be buying Poland Spring every time you leave the hotel. So reusable water bottle, definitely. A luggage lock, you'll need that if you're staying at hostels to lock up your belongings. I recommended packing a journal, a watch, or a Fitbit so you can keep track of how many steps you're walking a day, because on vacation you usually walk so many. Like, I remember I visited Rome one of the first days I was abroad in Italy, and as a group we literally saw the entire city of Rome in one day, and I'm not exaggerating when I say we probably walked like 15 miles. So I recommend that. Just keep track of the time and like your steps. Comfortable walking shoes, obviously. Honestly, any vacation you go on, you should be packing a pair of sneakers. Even if they don't look that cute with your jeans, you'll thank yourself later. An umbrella or a rain jacket. A backpack. I loved a backpack. It's a lot more practical than walking around a city with a crossbody, because you can fit more. So for example, a lot of my friends had crossbodies, were also carrying like a camera around their neck and a water bottle, versus with a backpack, I could just consolidate everything. So I definitely recommend that. Just make sure it's secure or that it can be locked or something so you don't get pickpocketed. For example, this backpack that I had when I was in Florence had a hidden pocket on the rear side, so it like faced my bag. My back, not my bag. It faced my back, and that's where I would put my wallet and my passport. So no one could get in there because it literally was touching my body. So that was a good one. Another essential that I have for packing for abroad, but also just life in general, is shower shoes. Obviously, if you're in a nice hotel or resort, you don't need that. But if you're staying in any hostel, like 99% of the time, you're going to be using a communal bathroom. Sometimes with like 100 people. So it's kind of like college. Bring shower shoes. Bathrooms are dank. Portable chargers and converters, super important, especially because you'll be out and about all day. Bring a portable charger and then converters, because the outlets are different in most places you go outside of the U.S. I mentioned this earlier, but medication and toiletries. A lot of pharmacies around the world are really great. Like in Europe, they're way better than in the U.S. But pack yourself medications that you know you can't get abroad. Definitely do that. A camera. Definitely recommend a camera. And then the last few are luggage tags. Luggage tags are so necessary. If you are leaving anywhere besides your house, even if you're just going to like your friend's house for the weekend, like make sure you have a luggage tag just in case anything happens. I know a lot of people who've lost their luggage, and if you think about how much everything costs that's inside your bag, it could be like couple hundred dollars, so that would be a huge loss. So definitely have luggage tags. An eye mask, I already mentioned that, useful on overnight flights and bus rides. Headphones and earplugs. And then the last thing that I could not recommend enough when traveling is to pack a neck pillow. So if you plan on traveling as inexpensively as possible, you may wind up traveling on overnight buses. So if you do, you should purchase a neck pillow. It'll make sleeping in a seat more bearable. The same goes for flights. You literally have to sit. You have to sleep, rather, sitting up. So bring a neck pillow. It'll help. All right, so that's the end of my list. I have two last tips I'm going to read from this post, and then I'll move on to Ecuador. So the first should be pretty obvious, and that is to make sure you leave yourself room for souvenirs while packing. You will end up buying a lot as you travel, so make sure you leave yourself some room. You always come home with more than you left with. And then the second tip, which honestly is a lifesaver, is if you're studying abroad or going away for a long time, like maybe doing like a month-long trip somewhere, Flatten a foldable duffel bag on the bottom of one of your suitcases and pack over it. So flatten a duffel bag, put the very bottom, and then roll all your clothes and pack over it. And then when you're coming home, if your suitcase is A, really overweight and it's going to be expensive, or B, you just literally don't have room for everything in it, you can use that second bag as a carry-on. Oh, you will thank me later. This is such a life-saving tip. Like, I want to put this on a billboard. Like, I think everyone should know about this. But yeah, this bag takes up minimal space, and especially if you're studying abroad, this bag can then act as a weekend travel bag or, like I said, just an extra bag to check at the airport. So those are my tips. I hope you guys are all expert packers now, and let's get into Ecuador. So Ecuador, I'm just going to begin this destination segment with some fast facts like I usually do. So Ecuador is a country in South America. I hope you all knew that. And it is named Ecuador because it straddles the equator on South America's west coast. So it's known for its diverse landscape, including the Amazon jungle, the Galapagos Islands, and the Andean mountain range. Now, that mountain range is most famous in Peru because that's where Machu Picchu is, but these mountains also run all through Ecuador, and including the capital, Quito, which is very high up. I actually have the elevation in front of me. It's 2,850 meters above sea level. So Ecuador has a lot of mountains in it too. But the capital is known for its intact Spanish colonial center, which dates back to like the 16th and 17th centuries. And I can tell you firsthand that this country is beautiful. So now to segue into what brought me to Ecuador. So I visited Ecuador in June 2017. So it was at the very end of my freshman year of college. I traveled to Ecuador actually with my university on a service learning trip. So I had signed up for this probably in like January or February of my freshman year because I had never done an immersion trip before. And I've never done service abroad, and it was something that I always knew I wanted to do. So I did it through Fairfield University's campus ministry. And basically, I spent the whole spring semester prepping for this trip. So I met my group, and we met weekly. And I kind of forget what we did in those meetings, to be honest, because I didn't know anything about the trip until I actually got there, which was probably the most magical part about the whole experience. I think we just spent those meetings like talking about Ecuador in general and like really getting to know each other so that when June rolled around, I didn't feel like I was traveling with strangers. Because I guess that's another thing I can mention. I did not travel with any close friends or family. I literally signed up alone. But by the time I left, I felt very comfortable going, and I was traveling with some other freshmen, which was nice. Although most of the people on the trip were juniors or a lot of seniors. So yeah, I left, I think it was like May 31st, and I came back June 7th, I think. So I was gone for a week, and we went to Guayaquil, Ecuador, which is on the very western coast of Ecuador. It's actually the jumping off point to fly to the Galapagos Islands. So I was there. I did not visit the capital. I really want to go back to Ecuador at some point and visit Quito, the capital, and to go to the Galapagos Islands. But today I'm just here to tell you a little bit about what I know about the country and my experience there. So a fun fact about Ecuador is that they actually use the US dollar. A lot of people don't know that, and Spanish is the official language in Ecuador, although there are a lot of different dialects. And then there's also Quechua. It's spoken in the highlands, which is popular among indigenous people. So when I was there, I had taken Spanish for a few years. I took it my whole freshman year and then a little bit in high school. But what was super cool about this trip is I was fully immersed with the locals. So I left that week feeling so confident in Spanish. I was actually starting to have dreams in Spanish towards the end, which means that you're getting really good at it. So I was definitely far from fluent, but I could hold up conversations with the locals very easily, and like we often talked in Spanish as a group. So that's like one awesome experience about, or like one awesome takeaway from any international experience that's immersive, is that you really get to know and practice the language. So that was super cool. But yeah, basically we flew down, and something that's so unique that I've never done before that I'll probably never ever do again is, before we boarded our flight at JFK, we had been on the Fairfield campus. We actually all like slept over the night before in Campus Min. We left our phones on campus. So I flew to another country without my phone, and I locked it away in campus ministry in a drawer. So that was kind of wild, but basically we were traveling with campus staff and professors, and they were in contact with like our families at home just to tell them that we were safe and whatnot. But yeah, I was totally disconnected for the whole week. I was allowed to bring my camera, which we kind of used as a group to take photos. But just to talk about the trip a little bit, because it is one of the most meaningful things I've ever done, it was service immersion. And the whole idea was to do with love and service through love. So we weren't going there to pile a bunch of bricks into a wall and leave. Like, so many service trips are about that. You go and you do work, and this could be a whole nother conversation I could get into about like voluntourism, which is exactly what it sounds like, volunteering and tourism, which is the whole idea that you come in and these people, wherever they're living, need our help. And as a tourist, you are privileged and you're there to help them by volunteering. And I think that is just a messed up mindset to have. Like, these people are perfectly capable of building a wall themselves. It doesn't matter if I'm talking about Ecuador or Tanzania or anywhere in the world, you know, France, like anyone can do that. So our purpose of being there was to just connect with these people and to learn through them. So the program we went with was called Rostro de Cristo. I'm saying that horribly. I don't have the right Spanish accent after all these years of studying it, but it means face of Christ, and it was a religious program. But basically, the whole idea was that we were to see the face of Christ in all the people that we were meeting with, and they were to see it in us. So the goal was to connect, learn about each other, show kindness, just be there to listen. Like, a lot of these people that we met with had gone through a lot in their lifetime, and we were just there to listen and show compassion and to make connections, and I do feel like I was able to do that. The whole week we lived in a volunteer home right in the community, which was super awesome. It's not like we were busing in and out every day. Like, we were living amongst them and walking to our neighbors' homes every day and visiting with them after breakfast or, you know, for dinner, or playing afternoon soccer with some of the neighborhood children. So it was definitely super immersive in terms of culture. And like the food too, like we were eating what they would all eat every day. So I did not have any meat. It's just like custom where we were staying. It's also more affordable just to eat starches like potatoes and homemade bread, which is so good. I had so many rolls and veggies. So yeah, language, culture, we were super immersed. So I just found my travel journal from this trip, and I want to read part of what I wrote, so I think it just like paint the picture. So Greg and the other volunteers picked us up at the airport, and we drove in vans back to the retreat house in silence so that we could take in everything we were seeing. I was so grateful for this hour. I saw young boys selling fruit, a baby playing in a tire whose mother picked her up and started breastfeeding her right then and there on the side of the road. More jaywalking than I've ever seen, stray dogs everywhere, roosters in the streets, food carts, motorbikes, and hilly, unpaved roads. We settled in at the house and had a meeting with Fran, our lead volunteer. We can't flush, we must take military showers, and have to use bottled water to brush our teeth. We all exchanged journals and wrote a letter to ourselves to kick off the week. And then I wrote, a lady in a taxi and I made eye contact on a busy street. She waved to me. Everyone is so nice here. So that just kind of like paints a picture. I actually forgot about that until right now, but basically I just landed in this country after a full day of traveling and was so excited to talk to everyone after being, you know, like all spread out on the plane and excited to meet all the volunteers that were there permanently. They were kind of like our volunteer guides for the week and like retreat hosts. And yeah, we couldn't talk to them. And that van ride from the airport to the retreat house, which was probably a half hour, we had to sit silently and just take it all in. And I'm so glad we did. So basically every morning we got up early and we walked to go get fresh bread for breakfast. And then every day we visited a different site. So I wrote here on June 1st, we went to the San Felipe School, which was run by Colombian nuns. The center of the school is a courtyard with nets and two levels of classrooms all around. We observed an English class, and I wrote the sixth graders were extremely rowdy and wouldn't stop talking. We introduced ourselves, and we played tag despite the language barrier. Aw, one boy offered me his Ritz cracker for lunch. So cute. But basically every day we visited a different spot. So I visited a school. We went to another school one day. This brings back like so many memories. And then we went to a center where women who had been in domestic violence relationships or abusive relationships were here, and they were allowed to live there and were given food every day, and there was actually a school on site for the children. So I met and was able to communicate with a lot of the women that were living there and hear their stories, and then also be able to play with the kids and help cook bread for everyone and prepare the lunch. So that was a really special experience. And then another thing we got to do is, despite visiting like these schools and businesses and whatnot, we actually got to go into some of the neighbors' homes. So we would all go in and we would sit and we would literally just talk and hear about their life and what their day-to-day is like, and we could ask questions and just explore faith and give compliments, and I don't know, it was just really nice. So it was definitely a very challenging week because I was super out of my comfort zone. Like I said, speaking a foreign language pretty much all day, every day. I didn't have my phone with me. I wasn't with like close friends, even though I did get very close with the people I was with because we had a nightly reflection, which was really nice. But it was just, I don't know, I learned a lot that week. So I recommend, if any of you are considering going on a service immersion trip, whether it's through a university, a high school, or even in adult life, you can sign up for a program like IVHQ, which is the International Volunteer Headquarters. It's actually a business run by Daniel Radcliffe, aka Harry Potter. You can actually sign up to volunteer from like 2 to 12 weeks all throughout the world. So I definitely recommend it. It's a great way to meet other people and to learn from them. And one last thing that I want to share about this trip is, I was looking at the journal, it's just another place that we visited in Guayaquil, and that was the Damien House, and that is a hospital and care center for people with leprosy. And if anyone has ever taken like a religion class in school or something, you would learn that in the Bible, like leprosy was believed to be like the devil's disease, like those people were marginalized in society and still to this day are considered outcasts. Like, a lot of these people opened up about the fact that their families have abandoned them, or some people are younger and their parents even dropped them off at the center. So it's really sad, and a lot of people in society kind of look the other way if they see someone with leprosy. They usually have markings on their skin. And we went, and the retreat guides really made it a point to tell us to look them in the eye when you communicate and don't be afraid to touch them. Like, they are often, like, so many people are scared to interact with people with leprosy. They always feel like outcasts, so it's super important to just make them feel loved. So I got to meet with a lot of people, one woman who was even 96 years old, and she shared her experience as a leper, and I made sure to, you know, hold their hands while talking, and don't know, this one woman, I told her she was an angel. I told her in Spanish, and she reminded me of how blessed I am for my health. So it was just like a super intense experience, but I definitely think things like that are a good learning experience for anyone, no matter where you are in the world. So yeah, we got to visit different people every day. We also went to an after-school program and got to help some students with their homework. And like I mentioned, we played soccer. It was just super fun. It was a good chance to really be reflective and get away. But we also had reflection every single night as a group, which was a great way to debrief what we did that day. So that's definitely super important when you're going through something as impactful as this. But I remember having a really hard time coming home from this trip. I actually landed back at Fairfield and drove myself 3 hours home. And I remember I just started like bawling my eyes out when I was driving, because I was driving like my car on roads, and I don't know, it's such like roads are such a basic thing here in the U.S. Like, it's a means of transportation for us, and it's how we get around. And to think that so many places out there don't even have paved roads, like, it's such a necessity, you know? So that was just super eye-opening. But the trip was really awesome. We did get to explore Guayaquil one day and had kind of like a sightseeing day at the very end. And the last thing I'll just mention was our very last night. Basically, we came home to a surprise, where we were told that there was going to be a surprise, and we all thought it was going to be ice cream, because we had been talking about it all week. And we did get ice creams. We thought that was like, you know, the highlight of the world, and we were coming back for the house for dinner. And we drove back to the best surprise ever. So basically, the house was dark, and we walked in, and one of the families that we had been with that week, it was this man who's a father named Bolivar, and his family was there, and they had prepared dinner for us and like flicked on the lights when we walked in and screamed surprise, and there was like a full feast waiting on the table. I literally have like chills thinking back to this moment. Like, we had said bye to each of the families like at the end of the day, and I honestly never thought I would see all of them again. And my last night, I totally expected to just spend with our group. So to see him one more time, he was like one of the families that we really connected with. Like, I loved his two little kids earlier on in the week. To see them again was, I don't know, it was just such a blessing. So they had prepared dinner for us, and then he led a prayer in Spanish and said how grateful we all are. And then we ate an Ecuadorian feast. And this is a super special thing about this program. Apparently, at the end of every single week, they invite a different family to cook a meal, and they'll compensate them for doing so, and so they can prepare the meal and then just to spend time with us one last time. So our week, it was Bolivar and his family, and apparently like the week after, it was gonna be like maybe a woman from that home that I talked about, where they might have been in abusive relationships. It just gives an opportunity for them to make a little bit of money, but also just to interact with people. And I don't know, it was just a really special evening. It felt like a holiday, like Christmas dinner. It's just, I don't know, good vibes all around. But yeah, that was really, really long-winded, but I hope you guys enjoyed listening. It's very different from any other trip I've done, and I actually don't have a blog post about it because I don't really want to give tips for Guayaquil, because it's not a common place to visit, but I think it would be fun just to write about that trip and kind of what I learned, you know, like takeaways. But that brings us to the very end of another episode. So thank you guys so much for listening. It has been such a journey so far, but I'm really enjoying this. So if you are too, please subscribe and leave me a review. I have several subscribers at this point, but I want to get some more ratings. So if you guys can leave a rating, it takes 2 seconds. That would mean the world. And other than that, I'll catch you guys next Wednesday for another episode. So in honor of Ecuador, adios!